You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast, episode number 6. Welcome to another edition of the Growing Leaders Podcast. This is Jake Sumner, and I'm here in the studio today with Tim Allmore, and we just want to jump right in today and talk about an important topic. As we look around the landscape of students today, we're seeing more and more that students are having trouble with the transitions in life, the transition from middle school to high school to college, and then college to career. Specifically today, I think we really want to dig into that high school to college transition and really talk about some of the challenges that students face as they enter into that. And then as they leave that, some of the challenges on the back end of finishing up college and trying to jump into the career and realizing that a lot of these students just don't have the skills to make those transitions well. And it's really causing a lot of them to get stuck along the way.
Yeah, Jake, you know, we say this a lot, but we believe in these students. Mm-hmm. Just like our listeners, we absolutely believe in these students. They're not bad or slow or stupid, but they're somehow culture's done a number on them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's our homes, sometimes it's just culture around us that has diminished their ability to be resilient and to make it through these transitions.
Yeah.
This recording, as you just mentioned, is really about helping them make it through those junctions. It's almost like, if I can use a picture, a relay race, mm-hmm. you know, the Olympics, and there's this 400-meter race, there's four runners, fastest men in the world. But I don't care how fast you run, if you don't pass that baton well to the next man mm-hmm. or woman, you're in trouble. And
exactly.
It's almost as though from middle school to high school, somehow the baton drops for some.
Mm-hmm.
And then for high school to college, the baton drops some more for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then certainly from college to career, my goodness gracious, it's the most underdeveloped, unemployed group of demographic of people in the country. So we've got to pass the baton better along the way.
Definitely. Well, as students make that transition from high school to college, what are some of the challenges that you see with them making on that front end, that first big transition that they need to make well?
Well, Jake, there are challenges on the front end. As mm-hmm. part of what we do at Growing Leaders is dig up research and then help people interpret that research. Let me just share some mm-hmm. tidbits that might incentivize our listeners right now. An increasing number of higher ed faculty are reporting that freshman students are just not ready for college. For instance, more than half of the 2012 high school grads who took the college entrance exam did not have the skills they will need to succeed at college, two recent reports said. Just over 57% earned a combined score lower than what's needed to make it in college. Most could not maintain a B- average or above, according to SAT scores. And then based on ACT scores, students came in a bit lower, showing 60% don't have what it takes.
Wow.
So, and then with STEM classes, the science, technology, engineering, and math, we're worse than ever, but we continue to think we're better than ever. Our confidence mm-hmm. is high
exactly.
in these students, and yet they're just scoring lower and lower when we compare ourselves to other countries.
Wow, that's incredible. Definitely something for us to take to heart as we try to prepare these students to make those transitions well.
Yeah.
What about on the back end of that experience? So students are able to make it through college, and yet even those that make that transition well, they get to the end of college, they have the degree in hand, and then they struggle as they transition from college to career.
Yeah, well, and part of that is just this $26,000 debt they have incurred.
Exactly.
But Jake, you know, we've talked about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago when I did the Generation IY book,
mm-hmm.
I reported that 60%, about 60% of college grads were moving back home after college.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Sun released a report last year saying it's now 80% of college seniors plan to move back home.
Right.
And again, that's not horrible. It's not the end of the world, but it's a signal that culture and home has not got them ready for the future. Probably one of the most sobering reports I have ever read was a report that Condoleezza Rice and Joel Klein published this last year that said the state of our youth today is now an issue of national security.
Wow.
About 75% of teens today are not even eligible for the military due to obesity, criminal records, or failing to graduate. So, I mean, if there was a major war right now, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you probably read this. I did a blog about this, but not long ago, the U.S. Army reshaped their training to make it easier for young recruits to make it as a soldier. This was due both to young soldiers failing to meet the standards and the fact the Army was failing to meet their mm-hmm. quota. So we just kind of dumbed it down. And this is probably the scariest of all. On one survey that I just read, businesses, corporations reported that 50% of their job openings went unclaimed last year due to unprepared recent graduates. In other words, the jobs are ready,
right?
The students weren't. So we're saying you got to do something about that.
That's amazing. Well, those are definitely some eye-opening statistics. And I think, you know, for anybody that works with students, they may not have heard these numbers in particular, but it's probably not a huge surprise as you look around and as you think about the students that you work with and just the fact that so many of them are failing to make those transitions well. But I hope that these do serve as a wake-up call for, yeah, for listeners as they're going, wow, there are some hard numbers and some hard research that is showing these are specific areas these students are struggling in.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Obviously, on this podcast, we don't want to just be the bearers of bad news.
Sure.
What are some solutions? What are some things that we need to put in these students' toolbox, tools that they can pull out as they make these transitions so that they can thrive as they move from high school to college and then from college into career? What can we do to get them ready for that?
Well, Jake, you and I have talked a lot about this, mm-hmm, as we just mull over solutions for our partners.
Yeah.
According to first-year experience programs, which we partner with across the country, and about 6,000 schools and organizations, mm-hmm, that we work with year in and year out, we have boiled it down to the big five. Mm-hmm. We believe there are five skills or qualities that need to be built into the life of a student, yeah, for them to succeed, not only in school, but then in life. So why don't we take the rest of our time and maybe just wrestle with these?
Definitely.
I'll jump into the first one real
quick.
Sure. The first of the big five is getting connected to the right people.
Yeah.
Now, I recognize that may be a no-brainer, maybe an, mm-hmm, obvious one, but over and over and over again, according to the National Survey of Student Engagement, what educators call NESE, mm-hmm, the students that fail to get connected to the right people are the ones that don't make it. In other, mm-hmm, words, it's not IQ, it's not GPA, it's not SAT scores. It's socially, I didn't get connected to the right people. And Jake, as you and I both know, there's now a measuring stick for life change units. Mm-hmm. Back in the 60s, two psychologists got together and they measured. We incur our greatest stress when we're in times of transition.
Mm.
A new school, a family member dying, a divorce.
Yeah.
But those kinds of things bring stress, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
The more change that happens, the more stress.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you're moving from high school to college, you're naturally going to incur a lot of stress. If you get connected to the right people, it just lubricates the friction and helps you stick. So research that I have picked up shows that when students get connected to solid peers or mentors, they tend to stick with commitments and follow through. For instance, the Federal Mentoring Council shared one study from the Big Brothers and Big Sisters, mm-hmm, organization, found students with mentors earning higher grades than similar students without mentors. And a 2007 study discovered that kids in a mentoring program overall improved academics and socially, especially in science and in written and oral communication. And then after graduation, employees who have connections or mentors typically earn thousands more than employees,
wow,
who haven't. So once again, it's just research that backs up the statement, we've got to find ways to get these students connected to the right people when they get into a new place.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, for the next one, we really wanted to talk through the idea. Another important determiner of whether students are going to make that transition well or not is if they possess adaptability and resilience. And I know you and I have talked a lot about the research that's shown. This starts at an early age when we don't let kids get out on the monkey bars and fall and learn that it's okay to scrape their knee and get back up. We've created an environment that's so safe for our students,
yeah,
and it's with the best of intentions, obviously.
Yeah.
But they've never learned to risk and to be resilient and to get back up and pull themselves up and realize that that's something that's a normal, everyday part of life,
yeah,
and an important skill that they've got to have as they make these transitions. And maybe college is the first time that they've really faced,
yeah,
something difficult that mom and dad couldn't just pick them up and pull them through or
and
protect them from.
Yeah.
So what does that look like as we really try to put that in the hands of students to help them transition well?
Well, Jake, you're exactly right. This could be the generation of students that have more potential than any past generation, mm-hmm, in American history. But because adults have perhaps not demanded that, mm-hmm, they develop those muscles of resilience or to overcome adversity, we've not leveled consequences to their behavior sometimes. Kids,
right,
often become brittle young adults.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers show us that they're entering to the workforce brittle and emotionally fragile because, mm-hmm, they haven't developed this. Let me give you a couple of numbers on this one. In 2006... I mentioned 60% of students move back home after they finish college. It's now 80%. And I believe that's more than a bad economy. I think that's students that haven't built a resilience. And so rather than move out into a fresh mm-hmm. blue water or blue ocean,
right.
it's safer to move home with mom.
Definitely.
The MacArthur Foundation funded a research project that said for many kids, the transition to adulthood doesn't really happen mm-hmm. until 34 years old. Well, we need them to be contributors, not consumers, all yeah. through their 20s. We need people in the workforce. So, again, it's what you just said. We've risked too little,
mm-hmm.
we've rescued too often,
mm-hmm.
and we've raved too easily
yeah.
about these kids. And we believe in them, but I think we need to be realistic in order to build resilient kids. Now, let me give you a picture of this.
Yeah.
In December last month, Les Mis came out on the silver screen, mm-hmm. and it's just been a great movie, a musical on the silver
yeah.
screen. One of my favorite stories of these first two life skills that we just talked mm-hmm. about, getting connected to the right people and resilience, was the story of the writing of Les Mis.
Hmm.
Victor Hugo, the author of it, this French writer, took 17 years to write this story, Les Mis.
Wow.
And it's now has had a profound effect on human culture.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is fascinating. It took him 17 years, so it took a lot of resilience. The problem was he kept getting diverted or distracted with mm-hmm. his gardening, with talking to friends out on the streets, you know, just stuff that
oh,
you know,
yeah.
he just got, you know. Who knows what would have happened if he had Facebook? But finally his friend said, you got to finish writing this book. And so he thought, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is to have a person hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did was he told his servant in his home, at night when he went to bed, he told his servant to take his clothes. And he said, if you take my clothes, then the whole next day I can't go out. I got to stay in my room. And if I stay in my room, I'll write.
Exactly.
And only give me my clothes at the end of the day so I can go out and, you know, and have dinner and so
exactly.
forth.
Exactly.
So, I mean, 17 years into the journey, he finally mustered up the resilience because of getting connected to the right people
wow.
that held him accountable. Well, it's a funny picture, but it's a true story of,
mm-hmm.
of what we all do better when we get the right people pushing us in the right directions.
Definitely.
We can overcome more.
Yeah.
I love the research project that once measured how long, in fact, this was done on a university campus, how long could a student stand in a bucket of ice water
mm-hmm.
barefooted? Now, it's a crazy experiment, but what
yeah.
they discovered when they did this experiment, a student could stand in a bucket of ice water twice as long if there was someone right next to them offering words of encouragement.
Wow.
Simple.
Yeah.
So it's resilience comes from getting connected to the right people
mm-hmm.
and just staying with it.
Exactly. So. Well, for this next one that we wanted to talk about, another important quality to build into students is developing high emotional intelligence. And I know through so much of high school and college, we really focus on intelligence,
yeah.
you know, just building in the right knowledge that they need, you know, those skills for the degree that they're getting or whatever. But emotional intelligence has a little bit different sort of focus to it. Can you talk us through a little bit of
yeah.
why it's so important to develop not only the mental capacity, but the emotional
yeah.
intelligence as well?
Yeah. Well, it's now been demonstrated several times through different studies that emotional intelligence is a greater predictor of success in life than IQ.
Wow.
In other words, EQ is more important than IQ. Certainly, we want intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But what I say to students when I'm on a campus, a high school or university campus, is this.
Mm-hmm.
Success in school is 75% IQ, 25% EQ.
Hmm.
You get out in the real world. It's flip-flop. It's 25% IQ.
So true.
But can you work on a team? Can you
yeah.
get connected to people? Can you manage your emotions? Do you fly off the handle or can you stay steady?
Exactly.
And that's what bosses want. So just for our listeners to,
mm-hmm.
to know, emotional intelligence is the sum total of four ingredients. It's
mm-hmm.
self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-management.
Oh.
It's social awareness. And it's relationship management.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those have to do with the management of my emotions. Certainly my will
yeah.
and my mind, but it's my emotions that I need to manage. So there's now an instrument that's been designed. It's called the Social Emotional Learning research that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
That they created an instrument for this. And I love it, the fact that K-12 schools are now offering this
wow.
social-emotional learning
yeah.
instrument to their students. Yes, math, yes, science, yes, reading,
mm-hmm.
but we also know that you got to learn this piece as well. The concept of emotional intelligence, Jake, in schools has proven to be so influential that it's now inculcated in the planning of educators.
Mm-hmm.
For example, policymakers in one state are using school programs to cultivate emotional intelligence and social intelligence in order to prevent crime,
Wow.
Increase mental health, deepen student engagement, and lower unemployment. And they're finding it's working. It's still new,
right?
So we don't have numbers for from a decade, but clearly, if you're a caring adult listening to this podcast, the building of EQ is absolutely critical. And of course, that's part of what we work with at Growing Leaders is helping students develop their emotional intelligence.
Well, I think this is a great reminder for parents and for teachers, just the idea that sometimes this is something that, that seems like it's easy to let it slip by because it's not as important as getting that grade or learning those math tables or doing the things that are so tangible. This is a little bit more of an intangible.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear that people are coming up with instruments to measure it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be one of those fuzzy sort of skills to develop.
Yeah.
But it's such a critical one. And so let's not let the fact that it's hard to measure be something that allows us to put it on the back burner and not do
and think it's not legit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, check this out, Jake. A New York Times editorial reviewed key research findings, and here's what they said, and I quote, social and emotional learning programs significantly improve students' academic performance.
Wow.
I'll say that again. Social and emotional learning programs significantly improved the academic performance. So parents that are listening and saying, well, I want good grades, actually EQ helps them earn good grades. Additional studies also show emotional intelligence is strongly linked to staying in school, avoiding risk behaviors, improving health, happiness, and life success. So again, wherever you are, emotionally, physically, spiritually, this is just a key factor.
Definitely. Well, this next one seems pretty obvious as well, but I think it's an important tool for us to talk about as we really want to prepare students to transition well, and it's the idea of targeting a clear outcome. Why do we think that this is such an important piece to put in students' toolbox, even though it may be something that seems fairly obvious? What is it that's led us to a place where we need to really, you know, hone in on developing this skill in students?
If I can give you a metaphor for this, I think the development of a clear goal or outcome is critical. Here's how I understand it. I think for many, it's the difference between going to work and going to play a sport. I think the reason America is in a mad love affair with sports is because it's the one category of their life they know if they're winning or losing.
Exactly.
Yeah, every basketball court has a rim. Every football field has an end zone.
Yeah.
I know exactly what the score is. We're energized internally when we know what the score is and when we have a goal to shoot for. I mean, can you imagine playing a basketball game? You throw up your shot. There's only a backboard back there. There's no rim there. I mean, you're going, what's up with it? Well, it looked like a good shot. People kind of clap, but there's nothing to it. So it is with life. If we have no clear goal, pretty soon it's not much fun.
Exactly.
We let the basketball just roll away on the court because I don't know what I'm shooting for. I believe kids go to school, and I believe young people go to work, and there's no clear goal, and so they have zero motivation, or at least very little motivation. It's external. It's a paycheck, and God knows they want to work for more than a paycheck. So a university study conducted a peace of mind research. They wanted to find out what brought peace of mind to students. And they found that the greatest factors contributed to people's stability were fivefold. Here they were. Refusing to live in the past. I think that's critical. So I'm moving forward. The absence of suspicion, resentment, and regret. Not wasting time, energy, fighting conditions you cannot change. Refusing to indulge in self-pity. And then forcing yourself to get involved with a major goal in your current world.
Wow.
And so I guess that's really what we're saying. We're simply saying, can we find a target that we would say, that's worth shooting for, and I'm willing to spend myself moving toward that goal. And if I don't miss it, or excuse me, if I do miss it, at least I've extended myself working towards something that was worthwhile.
Definitely. Well, we've got just one more quality that we want to talk about as we pass these on to students to help them transition and make it through these different points of life well. And the last one is just making good decisions. Again, why is this such a critical one? Yeah. It just seems like it should be understood that that would be an important part of the process. But somehow students are missing this critical ability to be able to make good decisions.
You're right. I'm going to sound like a dad, and you're going to sound like a dad right now. But it's true. As we work with tens of thousands of students every year, when we trace back what caused the train to go off the track, it was a choice they made. It was a bad choice, a bad decision. It is almost predictable, Jake. You're right. But the students who succeed make right decisions in and out of class. And these are decisions that determine their moral compass, their discretionary time, what they do with their free time, their study habits, their predisposition to cheat, their outside work, how to deal with setbacks and stress. Mm-hmm. All these can be pivotal in determining whether a kid succeeds or surrenders.
Wow.
And like us, students must keep a clear objective in mind in order to do this. Now, we just, you know, finished this book, Habitudes for the Journey. We'll talk mm-hmm. about that in a minute. But we really deal with this one, mm-hmm. as all the other big five.
Yeah.
But this one was so fun to write about because we talked about some of the recent companies that everybody would know.
Exactly.
That had to be resilient and make great decisions.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, what's fun is the team who created the popular game Angry Birds, mm-hmm. it seems like everybody's talking about Angry Birds, they spent 8 years and almost all their money on more than 50 games before their big success.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then Angry Birds seems so random. It's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like an overnight success.
Yeah, but it was attempt number 51.
Exactly.
You know? By 2012, Pinterest was among the fastest growing websites ever, but it had struggled for some time before they ever had that breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
In CEO Ben Silberman's words, it had catastrophically small numbers for about a year.
Wow.
And he went on to say if he had listened to everybody else's advice, he would have dropped it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
James Dyson went through 5,126 prototypes.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Before arriving at his revolutionary vacuum cleaner. And we all know the classic story of Thomas Edison, mm-hmm. who failed 10,000 times before he invented the light bulb. The popular company Groupon, mm-hmm. we're all familiar with Groupon, nearly went out of business, but went on to a meteoric rise. And one of my favorite stories that mm-hmm. we put in the Habitudes for the Journey book is WD-40. We all have this little lubricant in our garage,
mm-hmm.
but WD-40 got its name. It literally means water displacement, 40th attempt.
Wow.
They had attempted 39 times and failed, but on their 40th attempt, they came up with this product that we all have.
Exactly.
Now. So it's just a picture of how life works. We got to mm-hmm. be resilient, get the right people in our life, make good decisions along the way. And that works for us in midlife. It works for students in school as well.
Definitely. Well, as you said, Tim, one of the reasons that this topic has been so on the front of our minds is the fact that we have been working on a new addition to the Habitudes series. In fact, it's the first new Habitudes book for students that we've done in 6 years.
Yeah.
And it's really focused on the art of transitioning well. We're calling it Habitudes for the Journey. And as we talk about this topic, there's definitely a couple of those Habitudes that just jumped to front of mind. Yeah. So let's take just a minute and just share maybe just a preview of a few of those. And you know, give people a little idea of what's contained in this new book that we really want to put in students' hands to help them transition well.
Well, I don't know if our listeners are dealing with students that are dealing with some of these junctions or transitions, but Jake, as you just mentioned, this mm-hmm. book is specifically designed to start conversations around images that represent principles.
Mm-hmm.
And we just believe these principles are absolutely critical. So so one of them would be sturdy guardrails.
Yeah.
Just like you really don't notice guardrails on the road mm-hmm. until you really need them.
Yeah.
You're bouncing off of them on the cliff or the bridge or whatever.
Exactly.
We need people in our life that work like guardrails that keep us on the path we need to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop and think about it, guardrails are where the road curves. Mm-hmm. The guardrails are right next to cliffs. Guardrails are put up when there's oncoming traffic going really fast another direction.
Yeah.
So it is with life. We need to make sure there's people in our life when there's people going the opposite direction, mm-hmm. when there's a cliff we might fall off of in terms of relationships or classwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so this image is all about finding the right people in our life that can be keeping us on the right path.
Definitely. Another one that we wanted to look at was the idea of the destination versus the trip.
Yeah.
And I think this is such a great reminder for us, just the fact that it's so easy to get focused on this is the next place we're heading, this is the next place, or this is my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan. You know, once I graduate college, once I finally get that job, and we miss what's going on during the trip.
Yeah.
And so we really want to be able to remind students that as they make these transitions, that the experience is so much a valuable part of their learning and their growth and their development. And hopefully it is a time where they're putting those tools in the toolbox that are going to be pulled out when they finally do get to
that's
that destination.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
But if we get so forward focused on that destination, we just miss out on what may be, you know, contained within that experience of actually taking the trip.
It's true. In fact, really, I think the world is full of two kinds of people. The ones that are totally obsessed with the destination. They're so into the goal, they miss the journey. But then there's some people that are so into the, I'm just having a good time today.
Exactly.
And they miss the goal. But really, there's a careful balance we need to strike. If I choose the right destination, I'm probably going to enjoy the day-to-day grind that I have to go through. So it is choosing a right goal. But then it's soaking in the journey day in and day out and enjoying it along the way.
Definitely. Great reminder. Another one real quick is just toll booths versus roadblocks. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the difference is between those two metaphors?
Absolutely. In every one of our lives, this is not just for students. This is for us as adults too. In every one of our lives, we will encounter challenges. In fact, this next year, we'll probably all have several major obstacles that pop up on our journey that we didn't expect. It was a setback. It was adversity. And I believe these work like toll booths. We get to these places, we have to stop. We have to pay a price. If we refuse to pay the price to get through this adversity, it becomes a roadblock.
Yeah.
And we get stuck. And you and I both know adults that have gotten stuck. They're still breathing, but they're not growing.
Exactly.
We know students that get stuck. They fail to graduate. They fail to become all that they could become. The fact is the toll booth, which was designed to be a place to pay a price and go through and become better, has stopped them down. It's a roadblock. And we believe this Habitudes for the Journey book is trying to help them make it through and make sure that roadblock becomes a toll booth.
Exactly. Well, the last habitude we wanted to touch on real quickly, it definitely reminded me of it when we were talking about the idea of getting connected to the right people and how important that is as students transition well. And so would you just dive into that last habitude for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember, and we talked about this, Jay, because you and I worked on this book together. There are different people that pour into us during our school years. And if you think about it, they almost all fall into one or two groupings, travel agents or tour guides.
Yep.
There are lots of travel agents in our lives. You know the difference between a tour guide and a travel agent. Travel agents are people that say, oh, go to Hawaii. You'll love it. Try Honolulu. Try the Hyatt. You know, whatever, whatever.
Exactly.
They don't go with you, though. They just tell you where to go. Okay.
Exactly.
And sometimes literally. The tour guide is so different. They're on the journey with you. In fact, piece by piece, they're describing the plants or the whatever you're supposed to see, but they're on the journey with you. I think there's about 50 travel agents for every one tour guide that you find. And I think a tour guide is really that advisor, that mentor, that coach that stays with you on the journey. And so we're trying to help students. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of travel agents. You're going to get 50 people that tell you what to do. But you better find some tour guides that are saying, I'll hold your hand. I'll go on the journey with you. Jake, I'm so excited about this book because I think it's going to spark conversations that literally are life-changing that will help them get people and circumstances in their life that make sure they succeed.
Definitely. Well, as we close out the podcast today, we've got just a few announcements. And of course, the first announcement that we really want to dig into is just the fact that Habitudes for the Journey is being released on January 15th.
Yeah.
So next week, this book will be available to the public. We've had it available for pre-order for a little while now, but it's going to be officially released on Tuesday, January 15th. And we're so excited to finally get it in the hands of teachers, parents, coaches, and as they pass these principles along to their students.
Yeah.
The book's going to be available at habitudesforthejourney.com, and that's just habitudes, F-O-R-T-H-E, journey.com, all spelled out, no dashes, no spaces, no special characters. But you can also find information about it at growingleaders.com.
Yeah.
But we'd invite you to come and check out this resource. We hope that it's going to be something that's tremendously helpful as people guide the next generation through these transitions.
And Jake, can I just take 10 seconds and say, we really designed it for communities. So if you have a small group, a class, any kind of cluster of students that are in this junction period, they're in a transition, this is a great book to put in each of their hands and maybe take one habitude a week and just talk it through, start a conversation. And then there's every chapter's epic. There's an experience, there's a discussion, there's a metaphor. So we're hoping this starts conversations that need to happen on campus and in the homes of America.
Definitely. Another important reminder we just wanted to put out there for everyone is the National Leadership Forum is coming up at the end of June. And I know that feels like it's 6 months from now, but it's going to be here before we know it. And we really want to invite everyone in their listening audience to be part of this forum that's going to be held in Atlanta. And there is information on our website at nationalleadershipforum.org. And we're going to be discussing an important topic. Do you want to touch on that for just
a second? I'm very excited about this. We're talking about the future. In fact, this year's theme is marching off the map. We believe education has to change. It is changing. In fact, if we stay stuck with the same style, methods, and pedagogy that we used even 5 years ago, we're going to miss it.
Definitely.
So we're going to bring in tremendous communicators, futurists, educators that do research, So, I mean, Len Sweet, a futurist, is going to talk about the future. What's life look like 10, 15 years from now? Elena Bedrova is going to talk about her research in early childhood that affects even college students. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help educators change the way they deliver what they got to deliver to connect with students and help them succeed.
Definitely. So, well, we hope you'll be able to join us there. And just the final reminder is if you've come to the podcast through a variety of different ways, we'd love for you to get more familiar with Growing Leaders and just visit our website at growingleaders.com. Tim also blogs 5 days a week at growingleaders.com/blog. So if you've enjoyed the content of this, come and stop by the blog, get some more of this helpful information, and hopefully it helps you as you lead this next generation well. The show notes for this episode are going to be up on our blog. The simple way to get there is just growingleaders.com/006. This is episode 6, so you'll be able to find us there very easily. And if we've mentioned websites or stats or all these different things, it's going to be right there on the blog, so you can come and get those things. Hopefully, if you're driving down the road, you're not trying to write this stuff down and causing anything dangerous to happen. But all those show notes, again, will be available at growingleaders.com/006. So thanks again for joining us for an episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We'll be back again soon with another topic, and just encourage you as you continue to lead the next generation well.